is Cascadia Public Radio.
Such a small crowd, but still an enthusiastic crowd. I love that tonight. Thank you so much. Give yourselves a round of applause for coming out. I know the rain is out there, but come on. It's not snowing. We got a big rainstorm that we're dealing with here in Portland tonight, so we do have a smaller crowd, but maybe the crowd will get bigger as the night progresses. In fact, I've been told that I train people to come in later because I wait later and later to do the shows. While people are piling in and coming in, slowly but surely the trickle comes in. I want to tell you about last week's show and how some things have transpired. We talked about the pirates. We talked about what was really going on behind the scenes. And what's really interesting is that there have been some stories that have trickled in about the pirates that kind of back up what I've been talking about. And that is Somalia has now petitioned the United States saying, you want no pirates in our waters? Give us a Coast Guard. Okay? Yes, you're right. The pirates were the Coast Guard. When you don't have a government that's recognizable, you have to do things on your own. And so the pirates were the Coast Guard. Second thing on the agenda, the cook for the Maersk Alabama is suing the crew, suing them for $75,000. Why? Because they weren't supposed to be in those waters. They were illegally there. And the cook is saying that he's suing because the captain put the crew in danger. So remember we were saying that there's more to this story than just flexing our muscles and firing our weapons and shoot first, ask questions later, and having the Obama administration basically say, we don't kowtow to pirates, and we don't negotiate with terrorists, and we're going to knock out their bases, we're going to tear them. That's bullshit. It was bullshit from the beginning, and it's bullshit now. And we revealed the bullshit last week here at the Ground Zero Lounge. And by the way, a few people bought the shows. We sold the shows to them at $10 a piece. The shows that you see here, these slideshows that you see, they are available for $10. If you want any slideshow, just pay me $10. I'll pay you $10 for each slideshow. I will make you a slideshow and bring it back to the lounge next week. So if you want to buy a slideshow, name the show. Any show that you've seen here that has been performed here, we can give to you if you want to buy a copy. Go ahead, Glenn.
Just a note. John Hancock, the signatory on America's Declaration of Independence, his business, he was just a plain old pirate, you know. And so he's in good company, I guess.
So, yeah, we were all pirates back one time or another. Tonight, of course, is a show that I'm going to... I just want to tell you that I was... When I heard about the swine flu breakout, the pandemic that we're having right now, the World Health Organization is calling it a pandemic, I was with Jeff Colley at the Ross Island Grocery. Remember Jeff Colley came to the Ground Zero Lounge and spoke about the food contamination and about how we were saying the next bioterror attack will be in the food and it will be widespread and it will be some sort of a germ or something that will cause disease or sickness. Remember we said that? He and I were talking, and tonight you're going to find out some interesting things about what's going on. You're going to hear about this and you're going to go, oh, my God, why aren't we being told this? You're not being told this because they don't want to panic. OHSU already has people in the emergency room right now sniffling and sneezing and claiming that they all have the swine flu, and they don't. But the swine flu is very real, and what's going on is very real, and there's a lot of interesting timing going on, and it's time, as Americans, that we need to toughen our emotional skin. Yes, I agree. Thank you. One clap. Couple claps. We need to toughen our emotional skin because the trouble is now is people are too busy whining about shit and not doing enough about the problem. They're whining and crying and saying, where are my rights? Where is this? Where is that? Where is this? No, you got to start doing it for you. Because if you start depending on the government to do it for you, they're just going to bend you over and, like I say, give you the old hard one, and you're going to say, thank you, I want more. Because the government doesn't care about you, and they never have cared about you. That's why you're going to find out about this flu thing. It's going to piss you off. It pissed me off when I was doing the research. But, you know, the way I'm looking at this is there are some Americans that are really comfortable with the idea that their votes in the last election brought about change, that within a democracy we destroyed that which was corrupt, we put into place administration that will most certainly save us from what is called despotism, which means a government that basically doesn't give a shit about the people. We were submerged in this tsunami of hope, we were entranced in this spectacle of superstar messiah president, and we just said, anything's better than this asshole Bush. You know, that was a very bad attitude to take. And there was nothing that would have been worse than that asshole, the other asshole. What was his name? What's that? Not Cheney. I forgot his name. Who's the guy that... McCain. Thank you. God, I just drew a blank on McCain. Maybe it's because I don't like the guy. I don't like either or. I mean, I don't mind Obama. Obama's a nice guy. But I don't like the guys that are surrounding Obama. And see, that's the thing is that we sit here and we're thinking that it's one big party, that he's steering us all in the right direction. Let's all drink our lattes and party. Here we are with the Obama crowd going to town. We got 100 days coming in Wednesday. 100 days he's going to be in office, and the media's already saying, hey, we all love Barack Obama. Yeah. That's why we had protests, and that's why we had all this other shit going on. You know, they don't want to ruin that good feeling they got. But, you know, the truth is, we're more polarized now than we've ever been. We're more embittered now than we've ever been because the conservatives don't like the guy. And you know what? Conservatives are sore losers just like they said that the damn liberals were. If the either side is a sore loser, we're never going to get anything done. So, yes, it's one big happy family bullshit. It isn't happy. Go ahead.
Well, not all media likes Obama. There's a study from the Center of Media and Public Relations that said in the first 100 days with the four major networks, NBC's reported like 61% of the stories about Obama were positive.
Right.
That was the highest network.
Right.
And ABC and CBS were also above 50%. But Fox was at 13% compared to the other three networks.
So well, of course, Fox remains.
But that's way out of kilter with the other three networks.
I know. Well, and the bias is obvious. But, you know, CNN... You'll get into this in a minute. CNN, MSNBC, and all these other people, they're pulling dirty tricks too. Your media no longer is objective. There's no objectivity in your media at all. Okay? Fox was the first bastard that did it. All the other networks are doing it. So you can't get a real story. You can't get something that's unbiased. You're going to be getting this feel-good feeling. You know, the truth is, the mere form of government cannot protect you from what can be called corruption. Democracy is not a foolproof plan to win, okay? Capitalism is not a foolproof plan to win. Socialism is a foolproof plan to win. None of these governments are a foolproof plan to win. You can put in a Tom, Dick, or Harry into the White House, and you'll still have to deal with the corruption that goes down. Jane Harman was just investigated the other day, talking with lobbyists, an Israeli spies, Democrat who gave us the Homegrown Terrorism Act. This woman is a witch. But yet, oh, we're going to listen to her because those homegrown terrorists are waiting in the wings to destroy us all. Bullshit. There's corruption in every facet of your government. And it doesn't matter if it's Obama or Bush, they're there. Zbigniew Brzezinski and Henry Kissinger still sit in their thrones and they still get paid a hell of a lot of money to basically fuck you over. You cannot protect the nation from swinging towards despotism. It's becoming evident that people of the United States of America are witnessing that partisanship cannot be the determining factor in values and the substantive processes of running a government. No party has better values than the other party. That's just plain myth. And you'll find out more when we talk more about this flu. The FBI, the CIA, the NSA, all these alphabet agencies that are out there, they don't care about you. It's not about red state, blue state. It's the state versus you, and you're going to find that out more and more as we progress in this country. It's the state versus you, not red state, blue state. State versus you, it's always been that way. Yet we participate in a little thing called politics. We participate in a little thing called the election, and it's nothing but a blank check for these guys to continue to screw us. I say, don't vote, and people say, you're a party pooper, what you want, 8 more years of Bush? Fuck you, we've got 100 days of Obama, and look what's going on. Look, I'm not going to count the guy out in the beginning, but you know, he's inherited a lot of shit that he said he was going to clean up. And you know what? It doesn't matter what policies he signs into law. The policies that Bush had are still on the books, and he hasn't cleared them out yet. We still have wiretaps. We still have Patriot Acts. We still have all these horrible things that are keeping us pretty much held to the ground with our rights. And they haven't been changed yet. If he would have done that right off the bat, wrote those things off and said, hey, that was yesterday, here's today, I would have been more apt to say, this guy's doing a good job. But he's not. He's cruising. You know, he's going to give you health care. Big fucking deal. What else is he going to give you? You know, if you thumb your pages through history, you'll see that Germany under President Hindenburg was a republic. It was a democracy. It had everything we had. But then what happened was is there was a meltdown in the economy in the Weimar Republic, and then Hitler decided, hey, I'm going to look at take advantage of this thing, and I'm going to move in. Now, Hitler wasn't a bad guy at the time. Everybody thought he was awesome. He had so many great ideas and so many changes that he wanted to put into the Reich. He wanted to create the Third Reich. But, of course, if I use Hitler as an example, you're all going to go, oh, shit, Clyde, you know, you can't do that. Obama's not Hitler. Obama wouldn't do anything like that. No, of course Obama's not Hitler. But if you take a look at some of the things, it doesn't matter what partisan party you're part of, history will show you that a lot of the things they used to get the Germans to look into this were the same things Obama's been using, same things Bush has been using. That picture that's on the bottom left right there, that was taken from a German propaganda book. And it says, the hands of the Führer organized his speech. This picture captures Hitler's hands as he speaks of the unity of the National Socialist and Socialist ideas. This is reality. Now, that doesn't make him Hitler. It just makes him a person who's a good quick study for what he needs to have done. He knows how to mesmerize a crowd. Nothing wrong with mesmerizing a crowd to cash in on your vote. I don't see any problem with that. I always say, you know, I would rather have them fly the swastika at the White House than have me guess. That way I know that I am serving a country that has a government that is fascist or nationalist. Hitler was able to stealthily move through the Republic and receive the confidence of the people. The reason was because at the time there was no effective, competently organized mainstream right-wing political party, and as a result, the economy in Germany had tanked. Germans feared the communists, also hated the Jews. There was also an incident known as the Reichstag fire, where Hitler blamed the destruction of the building on the Jews. As you can see, history has repeated itself with our war on terror, beginning with our Reichstag fire, which was September 11th, 2001. September 11th was when our Reichstag fire happened, and we all got scared. Fear, keeping these governments in power since 9/11/2001. Keep that in mind as you're looking through history. People believe that the United States is too great of a nation to fail. It's erroneously believed that there are too many safeguards to prevent a Hitler, Stalin, or Mussolini to rise up on American soil. We have blind faith that this country will never be steered in the wrong direction because we mistakenly believe that this system that we are all part of is based on the principles of God, and that God is on our side. Not on the side of the heathen, Muslim, or communist. He's on America's side. Jesus is going to return here before he returns to anybody else. They all are concerned about his return in Australia, aren't they? The kangaroos and the wallabies all say, boy, I'm waiting for the second coming of Christ. Yeah. They don't talk about it in fucking Australia, okay? They're too busy wanting to hang out on the beaches, eat Vegemite, and just basically have sex. Here, all we think about is whether or not we're on the right side of the fence. Well, you know what? We're not. We need to get with the program and toughen up and realize we're not. There's a frightening emotional investment that we put into things here in this country. I say that it's frightening because nationalism never is a substitute for common sense. And the tears of joy that were shed on Election Day are an eerie reminder of what victimization does to logic, what mental torture does to intellect, how it seems that we are so hopeful that things will change that we ignore that they really haven't at all. Somehow the people surrounding the president, President Obama, seem to be taking advantage of their power, and those who are on the other side are becoming more embittered and more polarized, as I had said earlier. I believe that the reason why the Weimar Republic is often cited as an example of how governments can fail hard is because we as a people were just as proud, just as jingoistic, and just as ignorant about how fragile democracy is, and how we can easily accept a Nazi-like government without even knowing it, how we can easily call patriots terrorists if they decide to rebel against those philosophies as they creep into our American lives. It's happened, it's happening a lot, it's happening now. In the 1980s, Argentina was victimized by a manufactured war in the Falkland Islands, and their country was in turmoil. The people rebelled against it. They rebelled against their militarized government. Public debt skyrocketed. Hyperinflation made it impossible to buy goods. Their economy was a disaster. By 2002, the country was completely bankrupt. The result was mass civil unrest. Argentina is a country that went through what we inevitably will face in the future. There was something called the Dirty War that happened. It was a 7-year campaign by the Argentine government where innocent people, opponents of the government, suspected dissidents and actually subversives, were disappeared in the middle of the night. They were taken by secret government detention centers where they were tortured and eventually killed. They were known as the Los Desaparecidos or the Disappeared. Believe me, it's happening in this country now. Journalists have been taken and killed. Suicided is what we call it. And they have been basically people like Gary Webb, Danny Casolaro, Jay Hatfield, and to name a few, who have been basically taken out for what they have talked about before. Go ahead.
Okay, well, I know what you mean. I'm curious, your definition of manufactured war, aren't they all?
Well, manufactured based on a flimsy premise. They told the Argentinians that the islands were theirs all along and that England didn't have any say in it. They were called Las Malvinas, not the Falklands. And they were told that they actually were invaded by the British when the British were already there. It was Galtieri that went in, and he decided that this was our land. We're taking it back. So it was a manufactured war. Same with this war. It was a war on terror, but it was within the ranks of the people, saying, beware, your people are basically out to get you. Your government said rat on everybody else. That's what they did in Argentina. That's why we had the Desaparecidos. The so-called dissidents and subversives were actually turned in by people like bartenders, priests, butchers, bakers, candlestick makers. You couldn't talk to anybody, your friends and neighbors, because they would inform the cops. They would inform the military and say, hey, by the way, he said something bad about the government. He needs to be taken out. He wrote something bad in the press. He needs to be taken out. And what happens? You got to knock at the door. Policemen would show up. They'd take you. They'd throw you in the back of a cattle truck. They'd take you out to a place called Riachuelo, put drugs in you, and dump you and have you be eaten by sharks. In other cases, they would take and waterboard you. Not with water, mind you, but with your own piss. That's what they'd do to people who talked bad about the government in little concentration camps that they had up the streets and down the streets of Buenos Aires, where I lived. And I lived there during that time, so I know about it. This little informant force sounds a lot like Barack Obama's little security force. He's proposing a civil police force. Now, doesn't that just creep you out? I mean, come on, people. I want a civil police force greater than our police force so we can go after the criminals. Yeah, I want a rat force that's going to stool pigeon on everybody, and they're going to basically make it hard for people to actually talk to each other. Because you can't say anything without them wanting to kick your ass. That, in my opinion, is the Stasi police, which basically they got rid of in East Berlin, or in Berlin, East Germany, back in the 1970s and 60s. George W. Bush was considered a president with Nazi philosophies. Now conservatives claim that Obama is the Nazi, or the socialist, or even the Marxist. Now, isn't it obvious that the entire government is corrupt and that Nazi Marxist suspicion is really the ghost of good old-fashioned fascism whispering in your ear that something wicked this way comes? Are you strong enough to admit? Yeah, go ahead. Yeah. Are you strong enough to admit that your emotional investment in candidates branded as messiahs was a result of planned programming to accept despotism? The playing field is now equal, people. Our Hitler is gone. The new Hitler is here. Actually, he's not Hitler. It's more Stalin, more Mussolini type. So I guess you say Hitler was gone. Now we got Mussolini, his brother, in there. Yeah, a lot of people don't like that idea, but it's going on. It's time as a nation As a collective whole, to toughen our emotional skins and stop pretending that whatever horrors are happening are just going to change or go away. Otherwise, we'll make harsh judgments on our fellow man based on programmed prejudices of nationalism, as opposed to how we truly are as free thinkers. The government already has its hooks in you. The question is if you'll allow yourself to be reeled in like a dumb fish.
I got a hook in my mouth. What should I... Oh, I'll just go.
They don't play catch and release, people. You know, they don't. Once they got you, they got you. And they're not going to let go of you. Once they take away rights, they're not giving them back. We know that from 9/11. We know that with the Patriot Act. We know that with FISA. We know that with all the other shit that Obama has not signed away. Okay? We're still wiretapping. Citizens are still getting their rights taken from them. No change has happened. Oh, yeah, we need to get health care. It's because they're going to kick the shit out of you to go to health care, right? That's what we want. We want to be abused. Our mainstream thinking is that our home, our government, our system is too great to fail. We need to bring into perspective the reality. Those who place themselves above us will soon see their ends, too. The whole machine is showing signs of corruption. This spans the entire political spectrum from Republican to Democrat. Ambition, while admirable, can also be detrimental if it has its foundation in lawlessness and uses the pain of others for unknown ends. This nation will eventually become undeveloped, and we will no longer have the luxuries we once cherished. I'm talking about torture. I'm talking about looking away from torture. And then Obama coming back and saying, well, we're going to investigate it. No, we're not. Yes, we are. No, we're not. No. You know, when people are undecided, they don't do shit. So if Obama's saying one thing and on the other hand saying another thing, it's not going to get done. They're not going to prosecute. Are you kidding me? It's divisive, Eric Holder says. Fuck you, Eric. It's not divisive. If this country was to stop being partisan, then it wouldn't be divisive. If people would stop going, well, it's a Republican thing, it's a Democrat thing. No, it's a fucking crime. We don't say a Republican committed the crime today. We don't say a Christian committed the crime. Oh, we say a gay committed the crime. Yeah, that's our country, okay? Let's stop doing the partisan shit and start calling the criminals criminals. Because we got to do it, because we got to get rid. You know, naive, liberal, and conservative people in America are comfortable in their urban sprawl, their lawn mowing, their American Idol, their sports. You know, they're all happy. And then something comes along that's thrown at them, and they just go, okay, yeah, all right. Doesn't affect me. Yeah, I'm right. I'm out of a job that, oh, shit, it affected me. My God, what am I going to do now? I can't pay for that car. I can't pay for that house. You know, houses now, $25,000 in Sacramento. Yeah, you can get a home for $25,000 in Sacramento. I just read that today. Welcome to the adjustment for inflation, people. When people aren't making money, they're not going to spend any money. And people aren't making money, okay? Anyone who says, comes up to you and says, this place is fucked up and falling apart, you go to a liberal and say this, and I've had that happen to me because I've been talking bad about Obama in some respects. I like Obama, but I don't like some of his policies. I don't like some of the assholes that surround him. People say, get with the program, man. Get with the program, man. Move on, man. Move on. Fuck off.
Get with the programming.
Yeah, get with the programming. Very good. Get with the programming, man. You're a lunatic. You're a stupid ass. My God, you're racist. Fuck Janine Garofalo. Fuck her. Did you hear what she said? She was on, she was on Keith Olbermann, right? And they were talking about this Tea Party thing that happened, this taxed enough already party that was happening. She said, well, these guys are racist. They're like the KKK. They're like the white supremacists. And you know what? And people like Anderson Cooper and people like, Olbermann himself called it teabagging. You know what teabagging is? It's a euphemism for homosexual oral sex. Putting your balls in the mouth of someone is teabagging. You know what? They said it over and over again on MSNBC, CNN. And you know what? That is grounds for FCC violation. But did anybody report it? No. Why? You certainly don't like to see Janet Jackson's titties, but you want to hear someone talk about balls in someone's mouth? Where is our goddamn standards in this country? Jesus, I would rather look at tits than have someone's balls in my mouth. Oh, sorry, we got some gay people in the audience. Sorry, Glenn. Anyway, love the gay crowd. Okay, well, she said that they were like that, and I'm just thinking that was divisive to get people angry. But where were people reporting that whole teabagging thing? I'll never know. You know, by Garofalo's statements, you could probably now say that kids are racist, too. Why? Because they don't believe that there's hope. They just did a big survey. It was a telephone survey, opinion research done by the Habitat Heroes, and it said that a sample of 500 American preteens, 250 males and 250 females, found that one out of three children aged 6 to 11 fears that the Earth won't exist when they grow up. While more than half, 56%, worry that the planet will be destroyed in a massive war. So if those white kids are racist, let's go to the sliding scale of minorities. 75% of black children and 65% of Hispanic children say that they're not going to live to see the world flourish, that it's going to be taken out by some destructive war. So fuck you, Janine Garofalo, you fucking cunt. You make statements like that, and you are just as stupid as anybody else out there that says stupid things. These children are frightened about the future. And you make some fucking stupid statement like that when people are protesting being taxed out their fucking ears. And all you guys that call it teabagging, shut the fuck up. I would love to do a campaign against the FCC and say, look, call it teabagging. Keep calling it teabagging, okay? And see how far it gets you. I hate that. I'm an old school news guy. That is bad news reporting. They wouldn't have let that happen when I was at CNN back in the 80s and 90s. They wouldn't have let that happen. Being around a three-year-old, I am learning that children pick up the most subtle cues from adults. Children are especially susceptible to negative language, and we've had an abundance of that in the news lately. Movies, propaganda surrounding the global warming shit and everything else. These things can send a message of no hope. I have learned that it's important to speak clearly about real dangers, but take care to offer positive ways out. The issues are real and tangible. We need to remember that the needs of children and how they perceive what is happening around them. We also should not project our fears and prejudices onto our kids. We, too, have been programmed to fear nuclear war, terror threats, climate change, and the apocalypse. We, too, are like children at times, but hopefully we've developed skills where we can work through those low points in our lives. We must be aware of influences and practices that rob children of their virtue. We must understand that there is no other success or material wealth that can be compensated for failure with our children or failure to love one another in times of strife. No greenhouse carbon tax or philosophical cause is going to save the souls on a planet that has already allowed for an apocalyptic breakdown to crush the consensus spirit. We need to find ways to connect with each other as our toxic environment takes its toll on otherwise stable individuals, people you would never expect to crack, except this guy. Didn't we expect this to happen? Freddie Mac guy, the head of Freddie Mac, offs himself. Why? I'll tell you why. He lost money. He's losing money. When was that? A couple days ago. April 22nd. Killed himself. People are freaking out because they don't have any more money. And this is going to be a lot of this going on. Copycat killing, copycat death. It's going to be happening. And that's why I say, things like what Garofalo said are bullshit when people are offing themselves and feeling bad about the way they are. Go ahead.
A coworker of mine's friend, female friend, is in the Army. I think she was a lieutenant, and she was about to be redeployed, and she was told that she wasn't going to go to Afghanistan or Iraq. She was going to go somewhere nice, because I think she'd done a tour there or two. Anyway, they changed the plans at the last minute, and she committed suicide. This happened a couple days ago.
Sorry to hear that.
And this is in the Vancouver area.
Sorry to hear that. It's happening, people. You wouldn't expect people to crack, but they are. It's a very tough time. Financially, people are losing their jobs. I actually, get a load of this, last week, I'm unemployed. Last week, my unemployment check did not happen because I had an adjustment that I had to fill out. I didn't fill it out. Apparently, a lot of people didn't fill it out. They do this to you. I had friends calling me, hey, did you get your unemployment? No, I didn't get mine either. What the fuck? We had to commiserate. It happens, man. People are in the same boat. You have to commiserate, otherwise you're going to fucking lose your head. There's some crazy times going on right now. This is all part of what is known as destructive group programming. Michael Crichton, before he died, made a speech, and he actually said, authoritatively telling people that they're going to die because of some manufactured theory of global catastrophe can itself be fatal. If you're constantly being told that you're going to die, if you're constantly being told that something horrible is going to happen to you, if you're going to be told about global warming, economic collapse, nuclear conflagration, space threats, Armageddon, 2012, you're going to go that path. If you decide you're not going to go that way and not fear it, then it's not going to harm you. But most people are scared shitless about this stuff. And I'll tell you, it is fatal. Because people give up all hope, and when they give up all hope, they don't care anymore. New statistics from Homeland Security can make one feel a little paranoid. In the Ground Zero Lounge, where we discussed the new type of terrorism, we exposed the new focus on terror, that being terror perpetrated by Americans themselves using toxins and food. The focus, according to the new intelligence, stated that right-wing extremists and libertarians are likely to be your next terrorists. The others are disgruntled veterans and people who obsess over the details of 9/11 attacks. That's every one of us. Okay? We're the next terrorists. That's according to Jane Neapolitano, who's a real dumbass. So, okay. Believe it or not, there are also statistics on who would be the next most likely to start the civil unrest in the United States. The figures are far from being politically correct. Now remember, I'm going to show you this. This is your government talking. This isn't me talking, okay? This is what they're planning on. They're saying the new statistics are as unpopular as they seem. They're saying that the country, of course, is planning for a minority clash of civilizations. It looks like that blacks and Hispanics are most likely to cause trouble. Why? Because their unemployment's worse than white guys. And they're most likely to crack first. Okay? Your civil unrest will come from the blacks, the minorities. Your terrorism will come from us because we're fed up. Okay? They've always been fucked. We're going to feel it too, and we're the ones going to start blowing shit up. That's according to Homeland Security. Also, border clashes from Mexico, because it's going to be a failed state. The immigrants over the U.S. borders are going to be angering American whites, causing clashes. Garrisons will be placed there. Military rule will take place. And eventually, they'll move everything to the border wars. It's going to be happening. FEMA is preparing to do another one of those fun little episodic drills. They're going to be doing this in June. But the funny thing is they're too late with this drill, because this drill is basically about a terrorist threat that moves from one country to another country and back again. What they're going to do is they're going to be able to share information about recovery from some threat that comes from across the border. Okay? So obviously they're going to do this in preparation for something, or are they doing this to basically relearn how they're going to deal with threats coming from over the borders? These are projections and drills, people, being eyed by Homeland Security and FEMA, projections that they are counting on happening, projections that would warrant budgets for Homeland Security detention centers, homegrown terrorism laws, food safety laws, and recent statements from Homeland Security warning of extremists within our borders. These events will allegedly happen on a national level. Not state by state, but this will be a national thing. As per Project for a New American Century, we need a trigger to start this crisis over again. Another trigger is supposed to happen, or it already has happened, the zombie apocalypse, which awaits us with this new flu. And we'll be talking about that, too, because that, as I was writing the show, that just happened to fall into my lap, and it could be easily said that we need to ask ourselves, what is our government preparing for? They're preparing for mass terror. They're preparing for something to give them an excuse to move troops in and to mass arrest people. They want to protect us. This is more than just a terror attack, people. This is widespread. This is going to be a national event. There are many blanket crises that can be targeted. We now are in the middle of a civil crisis with a bad economy. 2 weeks ago, the governor of Texas recommended that the Lone Star State secede from the Union. California is also preparing to rewrite its constitution primarily to include budget reform and to allow nonpartisan or open primaries in hopes that more moderates will be elected to the legislature. They were also looking into immigration reform as well. Funny thing is that when you're Texas and you say, oh, by the way, I want to secede, and when you're California, you want to say, hey, I want to change my constitution, and you border Mexico, you are the first state to receive the swine flu. Texas and California, the first states to get the flu virus. Why? They're border states. Both states, the first to face the flu threat from Mexico. The variant swine flu strain has killed up to many people in Mexico. I say many because I used to have the figures, but the figures are too much to count now. I believe last count was 200 people are dead. 200 people are dead. And in the United States, no one's died yet, okay? But they are ready to enact emergency provisions where the victims of this strain will be under surveillance and there will be rigorous monitoring of schools. They're already using what is known as thermal cameras on people. You go to the airport, you come through, if they see that you're above 98.7, you'll be detained and quarantined, okay? you have a fever of 100 and you're coming off a plane from Mexico, you might as well make sure you're going to spend some time in a room being talked to by Homeland Security, because that's what's going on right now. The New Mexican swine flu, man-bird pig flu, the New Mexican swine flu has an element of DNA from the following: human flu type A, human flu type B, alien flu, Asian swine flu, and European swine flu. A strange combination never seen before and having less than 0.1% chance of being a natural event. That means, people, it was created in a lab. It's a bioweapon. The reason why you can know that it's a bioweapon is because A, flu season is over, and B, they have never seen a strain of flu like this ever in history. It's a combination of human, swine, and bird. That does not happen naturally, okay? It just doesn't. So it's an advanced bio-war event, and you're watching it transpire right now. Another strange thing about this flu is that no one knows how Americans got the disease. No one who contracted it had any contact with pigs. Only two people got the virus from each other. No one knows how this virus spread and what its origin is. So out of the 8 cases in the U.S., all but 2 just happened and were unrelated. So there you go. Where did it come from? No one knows where it came from. Just started happening. For a terrorist group with patience, a slow-motion disaster in ecological time using foodstuffs would be a perfect tactic against an enemy that thinks in terms of days or months, but would suffer across generations. The enemy knows that Americans are too caught up in spending billions fighting wars and global warming to do anything about their national health. So it is obvious that our food supply and water supply is vulnerable to attack. It is the most unguarded resource in our country right now. It is also the most vulnerable. That was from the Ground Zero Lounge 3 weeks ago at MK Agricultura. We had 2 shows about this topic and about how it could pass into food. The CDC says it cannot pass through food. Basically what they're saying is no, if you eat pork, it's not going to kill you. The truth of the matter is that if I sneeze on your fucking salad, you're getting it, okay? If I spray it on your food, you're getting it. I think that it was spread because Mexican authorities actually said, don't eat in restaurants and certainly don't eat from the street vendors. The food may be contaminated. That was the first thing to come out of Mexico. So chances are something, I mean, hell, we just had pistachios. They were bad for you a couple weeks ago. It says here, is the new strain of swine flu a bioterror attack? The CDC is saying no. Everyone else is saying, uh-huh, it is. Why is the CDC saying it's not? Because they don't want mass panic, and they don't want the economy to tank. If you found out that food was giving you swine flu, you wouldn't eat. You wouldn't buy anything, and you'd stay in your homes. We can't afford to have people not buy shit right now. Mexico has shut down virtually. We haven't shut down the borders, nor are we telling anybody not to go to school or stay home or not go anywhere. Although, if you're coughing or sneezing or whatever, you probably ought to get in line up there at OHSU. You'd be scared shitless to think so. But, yeah, that's what's going on. Now, here's some things about what's going on, too. Remember what Joe Biden said? Joe Biden says, mark my words, before Obama meets his 100 days in power, he will be tried, tested, and whatever. That's a quote from Joe Biden. Let's not give this administration 6 months and it'll be under terror attack, bio attack, whatever attack it is. Biden wasn't lying. He knew something. Cheney said something, too. This is just the words coming back to haunt Joe Biden. I think it'll probably end up in the news sometime soon. Someone will say, well, Joe, didn't you say that Obama would be tried with something like this?
It's not the kind of terrorism I'm looking for. We thought the pirates were going to be fucking scary. Yeah, pirates. Go pirates. No. This is it. This is the one. This is the thing that's going to try Obama.
Let's speculate that 400,000 people had to move from one area to another to escape the strain of flu. What if this flu pandemic was so terrible that mass graves had to be dug in order to bury the dead? What if FEMA and the Centers for Disease Control had to require that everyone receive a vaccination against some biological threat within 48 hours? What if thousands of people had to be detained in camps similar to what took place in the aftermath of Katrina? Are these scenarios far-fetched? No, they're not, and I'll tell you why. Because FEMA actually did something called a hazard mitigation some 2 years ago, and several states had to go through this hazard mitigation. Indiana is one state. Indiana County Municipal Offices of the City of Chicago revealed that what happened during recent meetings with FEMA and the Department of Homeland Security, the agency's initial request seemed reasonable enough when they asked FEMA They asked them to do a hazard mitigation plan to deal with flooding, fires, high winds, and tornadoes. And then FEMA got weird. FEMA said, well, would you be able to take mass graves if there needed be? Would you be able to inoculate people 48 hours if there needed be? Would you be able to take 400,000 people from Chicago and put them in homes here in Indiana County? Would you be able to do that? Officials were getting really paranoid by then. They were getting scared because they were getting these questions thrown at them. They even brought up GM. They said, what if GM was to go bankrupt? What would we do if there was squatting or terror attacks or civil unrest? What would you do to prepare for that? That was in 2008. So they already knew last year that GM was fixing to go. And they used it as a scenario for Homeland Security. They already knew about mass graves. They already knew about 400,000. They also said, hey, would you be willing to not sell 223 ammunition so that the military can have all the stockpile? The county was also ready to take 400 refugees, and they had to also bunker. Would they be willing to bunker their police stations and fire stations if need be? That was another question they asked them. Here's a takeover you can't argue with. Flu could boost the government intervention further. Crisis, executive orders, and intervention. Are you going to object to the CDC or the World Health Organization troops coming into your town and taking people who are contagious out of your neighborhoods? No. Are you going to object to civil rights being violated with your sick neighbors? No. Are you going to get an inoculation because you're afraid you're going to die from the swine flu? Yes. Would you be willing under penalty of law to basically get that? Yes, because you'd be thrown in jail if you didn't. That's what those FEMA camps are for. It's like The Stand, people. Remember The Stand, Captain Trips? Remember when that woman was on the radio? She says, freedom of speech, and they shot her? You don't have freedom of speech. You don't have rights. If you're sick, you're gone. It's called the harm principle. If this pandemic becomes crisis level in the United States, President Obama could initiate the Model State Energy Health Powers, Emergency Health Powers Act. That will help states protect citizens against bioterrorist attacks and deal with the national defense issues. This would allow Obama to create new police powers all in the name of controlling epidemics for infectious diseases during public health emergencies. Upon the declaration of a public health emergency, governors and public health officials would be empowered to force individuals suspected of harboring an infectious disease to undergo medical examinations, track and share an individual's personal health information, including genetic information, force persons to be vaccinated, treated, or quarantined for infectious diseases. This includes arresting, imprisoning, forcibly examining, vaccinating, and medicating you or your children without your consent. The government will not be held liable if you die or if you are injured during the process. That's part of the law. Go ahead.
I was wondering, as far as the swine flu back in 1976, does anybody know how many people in America died from that? One.
One person died from it. They all died from the vaccine. I'll talk about that in a minute. They died from the vaccine. They didn't die from the flu. All existing state laws, rules, and regulations, including those relating to privacy, medical licensure, and property rights, would be suspended. The government would then have the right to seize your house, car, telephone, computer, food, fuel, clothing, firearms, and alcoholic beverages for their own use. The military, with the blessing of FEMA and Homeland Security, can and will control public and private property during a public health emergency. The military would be used as a police force asking for the surrender of any firearms, survival supplies, anything they see fit. Same with Hurricane Katrina. They took the people out, they put them in camps, and they said, you're on your own. And it was lawful. It was part of the REX-84 program, Readiness Exercise 84, able to take mass people to camps, detain them, and hold them against their will because of a national emergency or a national crisis. If it becomes worse, little colonies of sick individuals would be placed in camps far from civilization. The government could mandate that all healthcare providers report all cases of persons who harbor any illness or health condition that may be caused by an epidemic or an infectious agent and might pose a substantial risk to a significant number of the people or cause a long-term disability to someone. The military, with the blessing of FEMA and Homeland Security, can and will control public and private property during a public health emergency, including pharmaceutical manufacturing plants, nursing homes, other healthcare facilities, and communication devices. So something I call the harm principle, something that was done by John Stuart Mill. The harm principle is this. The only purpose for which power can be rightfully exercised over any member of a civilized community against his will is to prevent harm to others. If you're sick, you're a harm to others, and they can detain you. They can take you out, and you can't talk about freedom of speech, you can't talk about your rights, you can't talk about your gun laws, you can't talk about, I'm a Republican, I'm a Democrat. They don't care. You are sick. You are gone. You go to a camp, or you go to the hospital, or you get inoculated. Take your pick. And this is what's going on in Mexico, and it can go on here. They just don't want to do it yet because they're afraid of what Americans will do. Seems to be advantage to these advanced biothreats. They are long-term, self-sustaining control mechanisms that can be allowed to incubate, and then appear surprisingly, they come, go, and they can come and go, come and go. We can go through one wave of this, and you say, oh, it's over. By August, everyone's dead. Right now, we're hearing back and forth. Oh, it's okay. You know, nothing's happening. A few fevers here and there. A few coughs and sneezes here and there. What happens is that once you get it, you become a carrier, you're spreading it. And someone else who's more apt to get it will die from it. People are wondering, why are Mexicans dying from this and we're not? Maybe there's a biological direction or genetic direction to kill off certain people with a disease. It's called genetic engineering. And they do it. They've done it. You can actually make a disease that will kill all blue-eyed people if you'd like. They've done it. And they're doing it. The last time there was a significant outbreak of swine flu in the U.S., it happened at Fort Dix when a soldier complained of weakness and he died 24 hours later. The only death of the swine flu in 1976. President Ford declared that everybody get it. 40 million American citizens got it. 500 cases of Guillain-Barré syndrome happened. Killed a lot of people. Killed a lot of people with that. The disease, the inoculation was bad. So even when you get the inoculation, it can kill you. According to the 2003 briefing entitled Emerging Technologies, Genetic Engineering, and Biological Weapons, Dr. Jeffrey Tannenberger, a pathologist of the Armed Forces Institute of Pathology in Washington, D.C., and the head of the Institute's Division of Molecular Pathology, led a team of pathologists on the quest to find the killer Spanish flu virus and the discovery of genetic material from the influenza of 1918. These scientists received a grant, $12.7 million to be exact, to study the virus, part of a $1.7 billion budget in biodefense. Scientists were given the green light to exhume a diseased body, use their corpses for study, and then synthesize the 1910 Spanish flu. They also created an antidote for it. A resurrection of the Spanish flu is neither necessary nor warranted from public health standpoint. So, if Jeffrey Tannenberger worked in a Chinese, Korean, or Iranian laboratory, his work would be considered a smoking gun and he'd probably be tried for war crimes. But since he did it for us, it's okay. Since they have the disease, it's okay. If anybody else had it, it wouldn't be. We hang Saddam Hussein for using gas on his own people, using bad things on his own people, but yet we can synthesize a disease that kills nearly 40 million people. But Saddam Hussein hangs for his. We don't hang for ours. Okay? A little bit of a double standard. Go ahead.
I just want to jump back in there with when Gerald Ford signed that inoculation, it was for 220 million people.
Right.
Inoculated. It was only after 40 million got inoculated that they found out that 500 people suffered the paralysis.
Right.
But now in the new pandemic, if you were to actually inoculate 350 million people before any symptoms came up, and then...
Well, and even in this inoculation, Tamiflu will only take away one part of this flu. It won't kill at all. This is because it's a construct. They constructed it from several different flus. Tamiflu won't kill it. It'll help you, but it won't kill it. It'll be with you for a while. There are other strange coincidences surrounding the timing of the flu pandemic. Since 1994, numerous top-level microbiologists have died mysteriously. Consider that between October of 2001 and January 7, 2005, as the world's policies on terrorism and plans for counter-terrorist weaponry began to crystallize, such scientists were dying at the average rate of one every 25 days. The deaths could be unrelated, but the chances of that are 14 billion to 1. So these guys were killed off. They were microbiologists. The question is, did they know something about what was going on? Were they trying to make something to quarantine it? Or did they put it all upon themselves and kill themselves because they know it was coming? On April 22, 2009, spokesman for Fort Meade, CID reported missing virus samples from the U.S. Army Medical Research Institute of Infectious Diseases at Fort Detrick. Fort Detrick does not have its own CID office. That's why Fort Meade was called in. The funny thing is that on April 25th, Venezuelan polo ponies at the Polo Open, U.S. Polo Open, all died mysteriously. No one knew why they died. And no one knew what disease was missing from Fort Detrick. They didn't know. Meanwhile, they finally came through and said, okay, the pathogen lab says that what was missing was Venezuelan equine encephalitis. Isn't that interesting that Venezuelan equine encephalitis, a rare disease that you get from mosquitoes, escaped from this lab, and 21 Venezuelan polo ponies just happened to die? The cause of death was that they mixed some strange vitamin in the feed and killed the horses. Or did the CDC or did Fort Meade and Fort Detrick make up this story about the Venezuelan equine stuff just to coincide with the horses? It's kind of weird that that came out at the same time. It was discovered that, as I said, vitamin supplements badly mixed caused this problem with the horses, and everybody was happy. They said the CID reported, oh, by the way, those vials of the equine encephalitis, all gone, nothing to worry about. In April of 2005, laboratories across the United States were actually sent a deadly 1957 strain of flu in their test kits. Officials of the World Health Organization actually demanded that the vials be destroyed in order to avoid an outbreak of the strain. Vials were sent by a company to the United States to labs in 18 countries. The 1957 strain has not been included in the flu vaccine since 1968, and anyone born after that date has no immunity to it. It was not immediately clear why the 1957 pandemic strain, which killed 4 million people, was included in a proficiency testing kit. Labs use these test kits to teach people how to look for strains. What was really interesting is that this strain came out, and it took a Canadian company to go, wait a minute, why are you, like, sending this to us? This is an illegal strain. It has no immunity to it. My God, do you realize the potential bio threat if somebody was to take this and synthesize it into a man-bear-pig thing or a man-bird-pig flu? Can you imagine the potential? Oh, but that won't happen. No one's going to do that. No one's going to intercept these viruses. No, that's not going to happen. It's just a strange coincidence. Yeah, it's a big oops, people. Canada sees that we're doing something like this. We're sending something illegally to these test kits. That's a really big oops. Especially when you consider that the first case of the new swine flu that was seen in Mexico was on April 13th, exactly 4 years after the virulent flu mistake. The outbreak coincided with President Barack Obama's trip to Mexico City on April 16th. Obama was received at Mexico's Anthropology Museum in Mexico City by Felipe Solis, a distinguished archaeologist who died the following day of swine flu. And he shook his hand, too. We don't know. But then again, Obama's not Mexican, so he probably won't die. If they bioengineered it, right? Coincidentally, this flu zombie strain that's going around, coming 1 week, actually 3 days, before they start debating on this health care bill. Isn't that amazing? Do you think for 1 minute they're going to say no to a health care bill when zombies are walking around going, I'm sick? No, I don't think so. Timing is really of the essence, isn't it? It's really bizarre how this all happens, right? In 1918, when the Spanish flu epidemic broke out, there were draconian but necessary laws passed that prevented people from spitting, coughing, or sneezing in public. Hand-to-hand contact was prohibited. Schools, theaters, saloons, pool halls, and even churches were all closed. As the bodies mounted, even funerals were held outdoors to protect mourners against the spread of the disease. No one was screaming about civil rights violations or freedom of speech rights being curtailed when this all happened. They all had to toughen up their emotional skins and face a threat greater than anything they could imagine. Toughening up. Boy, there's something that Americans need to do. The Center for Strategic International Studies, a think tank run by Henry Kissinger and Zbigniew Brzezinski, both advisors to Barack Obama, have produced a list of seven trends that will challenge world leaders and cause change until 2025. They're called the Seven Revolution. It lists priorities one and two as population control and resource management. Each of these revolutions, writes the CSIS, embodies both promise and peril, and it is up to every one of us to determine the trajectory that these revolutionary forces will follow. It appears that the determination has begun. Global sustainability can only occur when the population does not overpower resource. The solution is to find ways to weed out the populace. It can be accomplished with plausible deniability, silently, and it can be made to appear like a natural event. There was no sane reason to let the genie, that being a designer flu, out of the bottle. If millions die as a result of tampering with viral influenza, perhaps it would be necessary to bring those scientists to trial for crimes against humanity. If this pandemic becomes deadly, we may have to raise the specter of the harm principle, which leaves us no alternative but to inflict harm or force on anyone who may have this disease. It is the perfect scapegoat for martial law and the perfect catalyst for destroying trust and creating chaos or crisis for the purposes of a Leviathan government. A time where a cough could be your death warrant, a warrant for your arrest. Think about that. That's what we're heading for. Is it the end or is it the beginning? Whether you think this is a hoax or not, I can't change your mind. But one thing's for sure, perceived, manufactured or not, there seems to be a lot of tinkering going on with biogenetics. Weeks ago on this stage, we talked about biogenetics, biohazards, and toxins in food and how it could easily be introduced for the long term into the populace. I had two shows. I even had a special guest who came from Beijing to even tell you that this was about to happen. For those of you who attended those shows, you got the word before this threat happened. As you can see, it is a bio threat because you cannot get all of those different strains of flu linked together naturally. It's impossible. Man, bird, pig flu. It can't be done unless it's done in a bio lab. Microbiologists dying. CDC is going, oh my God, we sent out a bunch of the wrong batch of flu for test kits. Oh, equine Venezuelan Hong Kong hangnails. Get scared. You know, this is all so convoluted. It's so hard to believe, but it's reality. They're cavalier with these things. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
Jess, it was either last week or the week before, a television broadcast program called Fringe had exactly that. An organism from several different strains, several different animals, et cetera.
So Fringe predicted it. Which episode was it?
I can't remember whether it was last week or the week before.
Okay, so I'm going to look up Fringe on Hulu. It's available on Hulu. If you want to see the Fringe episode, I got to see that and see if it was a precursor like the other things. They do this predictive programming deal where they're doing this. Go ahead.
You know, you've brought up for lots of ground zeros the idea of, you know, be prepared for resource depletion, be prepared for an economy tanking and buy gold. Mm-hmm. But now it's sort of another thing to consider is with the idea of these inoculation or field inoculation to store up on morphine.
No kidding.
So you can go out with a smile on your face, you know?
Pretty much. Morphine and Family Guy, my best friends and I have cancer, tell you that. By the way, all the shows that you see here, all the shows from the beginning we started doing these presentations, these slideshows, are available for $10. Many people have said, Clyde, I can't explain it the way you explain it. I can't show my friends because they think I'm crazy. They don't know where I get my resources. They don't have my footnotes. These shows have resources. I take pictures of websites, news reports. I put them up there just so that you know that I'm not making this up, that these stories are actually being told. And some of them are not making the mainstream because they're too uncomfortable to tell. What I mean by mainstream is I'm talking about CBS, NBC, ABC, MSNBC, CNN. These stories aren't getting out there because they don't want you to know them. They throw away the stories. They want you to hear that there's terrorism going on with pirates. They want you to hear this. But what they don't want you to hear is that, yes, the CDC and the World Health Organization have been cavalier with diseases like this. Losing flus that have no cures. Losing Venezuelan equine encephalitis at the same time horses die. Stories can be made up. Stories can be untrue. It happens. The news only gets it right maybe 75% of the time, maybe less, especially now when the Pentagon has them by the balls. I just want you to know that we can only hope that the swine flu that we're seeing now is like the swine flu of 76. Nobody dies of it. Mexicans are dying of it. Maybe it's because they don't have the right health care. They'll probably point that out to you, too, in the weeks to come when we're talking about this health care reform. But be careful. Wash your hands. Clean up. You know, be on your best, and you'll beat it. The thing is it's not old people that this kills. It kills young people. It kills people between the ages of 25 and 45. People who are normally healthy end up getting pneumonia and dying from it. That's what you need to avoid, is pneumonia, if you get it. And the way it's going now, I couldn't even put the numbers into the show because it was doubling and tripling as we speak. Last time I heard 200 dead, nearly 1,000 cases incubating, and it will continue and grow. If Obama decides to empower the Medical Emergencies Act, you will be seeing a lot of strange things going on, and you'll be going, my God, is this my country or is this some other country? Well, it'll become an undeveloped country because we will have to take precautions to keep people from being sick. Woodrow Wilson had to put draconian laws into play during the flus in the beginning of the 20th century. So keep that in mind. Be prepared for everything. Save food. If you can get drugs, get drugs. If you can do any of those things, do that. Because it's not just the pandemics you have to think about. It's the economy, too. And let me tell you something. We're getting hit by double whammies. Katrina basically brought, 9/11 brought us in one direction. Katrina happened in the other direction. And now this is going to cripple us, too. It's going to cripple us financially. Things like this cripple a nation. And like I say, Americans are afraid that, you know, that we'll never fail. We can fail. We can fail miserably if we don't take precautions and don't start thinking about your neighbors and about what you can do to help each other. People say, Clyde, you never give us solutions. Well, I got one solution for you. Find out who your neighbor is. Find out what he does. Get to know him. Get to know a group of them. And come to community meetings like this, the Ground Zero Lounge, and invite people to come out to them. And, you know, even though a lot of what I talk about may be uncomfortable, may be a little weird to you, and you think, oh, this is not going to happen, 3-4 weeks ago on this stage, I predicted this happening. I brought in a guest to tell you from Beijing that it was going to happen. And people still wanted to laugh, and they still wanted to talk over me, and they still wanted to be rude and heckle. Well, you have microphones if you want to heckle. You can talk. You ask questions. Do whatever you want. This is an open forum. But one thing I do appreciate is I appreciate you coming out and listening. I want to remind you that these shows are available. Just come up to me, hand me a $10 bill, and I will make you a show, and I will make sure you get it. I will make sure. You going to say something, Glenn, quick? What you say? Oh, talk about Alex Hansery's show? Go ahead.
Alex Hansery, who does material that I see as similar to Clyde's, it's a Thursday evening program at 7. He is having his 200th broadcast this Thursday evening, April 30th, at PCMTV on Martin Luther King. And for, I think, the first time, he's having a studio audience. So, if you want an evening you'll remember, I think that's a really...
When is this again? April when?
April the 30th. Thursday, April the 30th, 7 p.m., 7 to 9 p.m. It's a special two-hour edition. I would also like to announce that I believe Clyde's Ground Zero Lounge is now carried audio on Media
Cascadia Monitor. Radio and Media Monitor.
No, it is also carried on a web stream of mine called Cascadia Public Radio. CascadiaPublicRadio.org. Go to that site, click on the logo, and you'll see the whole catalog of everything Cascadia Public Radio has done. And as of the last couple of weeks, last month or so, I've been carrying Clyde's audio.
Thank you. Give Glenn a hand for carrying the audio to the show. Go ahead.
Okay, just wanted to save this for the end. What some of you might not realize about the shows that Clyde is selling on CD for $10 each is that they are in full color. And we have a problem with the quality of the projector here, so a lot of you see them in very muted colors. These are full color. They look great. You'll see it as he intended it to look.
Ground Zero Lounge is spreading. People are coming out. Remember, $10 gets you a show, any show you want, even this one if you want. I'll get it for you for next week. We'll see you next week from the Ground Zero Lounge. Karaoke from Hell's next. Give them a hand when they're up there. Thank you.